What's up, beer drinkers? How y'all doing this week? Oh, we got a great show for you again this week. We done did it again. Not only do we drink and review some delicious beers, but we also have our beer news where we talk about non-alcoholic beers at stadiums. And then in our cold brew list, Sorcerer Chromatic regales us with all the beer you can drink in the Fallout franchise video games. Video game franchise? Yeah. Fallout video game franchise. And we also talk a little bit about the series on Amazon, the Fallout series. He watched it all. I had only watched 3 episodes up to the point, so we don't go into any spoilers or anything. We just give our overall impressions of the show and talk a little bit about the backstory or about the video games, a little bit here and there, little tidbits of knowledge that we know. And then after that, in our Drunken Shenanigans, we touch a little bit about playoff basketball and also, and not really playoff hockey, but but that's just towards the end. That's just a little bit. So it's mostly beer and Fallout in this episode. Don't forget to follow us on Untappd and Instagram. Search Cold Brew Podcast. All right. Without further ado. Oh, actually, you know what? Got a little special guest, a little bumper between this little intro and the actual show. So stay tuned for that. It's my daughter. I had to record a sound clip. So anyway, without further ado, here's my daughter introducing you to Cold Brew.
What's up, beer nerds? Stop listening to the show and go drink beer.
Coming at you pre-recorded from Cold Brew Studios, I am Greg, he is Sorcerer Chromatic, and we're here to talk about beer.
Yes, we are.
How you doing this week, man?
Not bad. Busy. Busy with work, busy moving, busy with kids.
Oh, you know. My God. I don't know how you do it, man. I don't know how you find enough hours in the day.
Oh, geez.
But, hey, it's all worth it, man. The goal's there, and it'll be totally worth it.
Yeah, the payoff's coming.
Yep.
That was coming.
That's correct. All right, you ready to talk about some beer?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. I have from our good friends at Resident Culture out of, I was about to say Central Avenue. They're on Central Avenue in Charlotte, North Carolina. North Carolina.
Electric Avenue?
Alphabet Street. I have by Resident Culture their Motivations of the Heart. It's a West Coast style IPA, 7% alcohol by volume. It's a of course a 16-ounce can. It's hopped with Vista, Superdelic, Mosaic, and Eldorado hops. That's the very first time I've ever heard of Vista and Superdelic hops. That's kind of fucking cool. I like those names. They're getting creative. All right, so without further ado, pop off. What do you got?
Okay. I'm not sure how I ended up with this beer, how I got it. I don't remember the story, but I got from Timber Ales Brewery, a microbrewery out of New York.
Oh.
I have their Blueberry Pancakes by Campfire. It's a coffee stout.
Oh, wow. Okay, 2 coffee stouts in a row, right? Didn't you have a double stack last week?
Maybe
not. we'll go back and listen to the tapes.
Yes. I choose not to incriminate myself.
Just in case someone's listening.
So this is a Blueberry Pancakes by Campfire is a variant of our snack stout. Condition on maple, coffee, and blueberry. So it's all I could really find on this.
Mm-hmm.
The font on the can is super, super small.
Again, why do you always get the small font cans?
Yeah. Maybe because I'm drawn to the room they have for the art.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yes.
And this is even though it's a coffee stout, it's, you know, it's in condition. It's only 6% ABV. Now, that's nothing to scoff at. However, just showing that it's not like an imperial or, you know, kicked up by barrel aging or anything like that.
Yep.
So any further ado, Papa.
Very nice. All right, so this Motivations of the Heart. First off, I like the name. I don't know why I like the name. It's one of the really long names, but it's, I don't know. It just, it's, it speaks to me for some reason. But it's a West Coast style. It's very clear. You got the, you know what? I wouldn't say very clear. It's pretty clear. There's a little slight murkiness to it, but that's maybe because they're on the East Coast brewing a West Coast. I don't know. I don't know. But it's really good. It has a tropical type fruitiness to it, and a little bit of pine on the backside. So it's got more like a East Coast, West Coast thing going on. It's like a East Coast brewery doing a West Coast beer. That's probably where the cross-pollinization lies. So it's really good. I like it. I think I'm going to rate it pretty high, but I don't know. There's only a few beers that I would rate really low that I would say, oh, I hate this one. I'm going to rate it pretty low. So, yeah, this one's pretty good. I'm going to say maybe around a 4.25. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes along during the show. So how do you like your I already messed it up because I put double stack in my, but your blueberry pancakes by Candlelight, what's it called?
Blueberry pancakes by Campfire.
Oh, Campfire. I thought it was Candlelight for some reason.
Well, first notes, it's very stouty in appearance.
Yeah.
You know, it's the dark color, caramel foam head. Really sweet. The blueberries is there. Not too much coffee, so yeah. I don't know if that's going to open up for the coffee. So it doesn't have, like, any roasty bitterness or tartness. It's more of just a stout with a sweet profile to it.
Very nice. All right, so we will rate these beers later on during our Untappd portion of the show. Don't forget to follow us on Untappd. Search Cold Brew Podcast and friend us, and we'll friend you back. But right now, it is time for some beer news. The first news story that I have for you is from, this comes to us from Axios of Denver, written by Esteban L. Hernandez. Sports arenas see increased demand for NA beer and drink options. A beer and a hot dog at Coors Field doesn't need to come with a buzz anymore. The big picture. The Colorado Rockies ballpark started selling mocktails this year. Resident district manager for Aramark, Al Wolf, told us recently it also sells non-alcoholic Coors Edge. The spirit-free cocktails are available in a souvenir cup. What they're saying. If fans don't want to really drink alcohol with their friends, they still feel part of the group, Wolf said. Sports arenas are cashing in on people embracing dry or damp lifestyle, which eliminates or limits alcohol use and is gaining popularity. Empower Field at Mile High sells any beer at 3 concession stands per its website. Fans ready to see the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets start playoff runs will have non-alcoholic options at Ball Arena. Budweiser Zero, Coors Edge, Groovy Golden Lager, and Groovy Sangria are among the booze-free options available at stands inside the arena. Amanda Caldwell, Executive Director of Venue Operations at the arena, in a statement said, more fans are looking for alcohol alternatives. Quote, we will continue to work to provide creative and fun options as this trend expands, Caldwell said. So yeah, NA beers, when you were going to the 49er games this past season, did you see NA beers at the stadium? Or you probably weren't even looking, right?
No, I don't look. A lot of InBev stuff at Levi Stadium, but
yeah.
I definitely don't look for or didn't notice a presence of non-alcoholic stuff.
Yeah, I think mainly because you do most of your drinking in the parking lot. So by the time you get in, you're just there for the game, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, pregame and just I'm done by the time kickoff starts with drinking. Not that I'm smashed. It's just gonna like be able to one enjoy the game and not have to fight lines and stuff. And
yeah,
two, I mean, save a little bit of money. I mean, I spent enough money on the beer for the pregame.
Yeah.
And, you know, three with my kids, I didn't know what to expect when I get home either. I gotta have all my wits about me because they give me a run for my money for sure.
Yeah, totally understand that. Yeah, but so next season, just take a look because that's the one stadium you go to regularly. So maybe next year we'll talk about it. Next season we'll touch in on it. I want you to go around and look for NA options at Levi Stadium. But as far as right now, I could see it, man. I mean, it's kind of fun to watch those videos from like the arenas and the stadiums of drunk fans fighting in the seats. But at the same time, it's just a bad look. And nothing's gained from it for those people who are fighting either. They'll probably get kicked out and maybe at the worst, like banned for life if it's really that egregious, or they'll have to go to some type of training, right? Or something like that.
Well, I forgot the requirements, but yeah, it's some sort of kind of a homework.
homework online class.
Yeah, homework, if you will.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, if it's a bad look for the stadiums to actually offer like for those who want the taste. But to be honest, it doesn't taste like exactly like the alcoholic version of it, but kind of does better than like a soda or just a water.
I get what you're saying. I wonder if this is kind of like a carryover from remember World Cup in Qatar. Yeah. At the last minute, they did the old switcheroo and said no alcohol in the stadiums.
Yeah, we should have saw that coming down the street like a pink Cadillac. But, so, you know,
I just wonder if there was credible success. Now, you know, in my mind, it's a small market you're reaching.
Yeah.
I think there could be better spent kind of resources on regular food, so it's less expensive. I don't know if you know what I'm saying.
But I get that.
It just seems like, those products have a place, and people who don't drink for whatever reason they have, it's their choice. Nothing against them. It just growing up, I always correlated getting a ballpark beer as a part of the experience. Well, you're growing, obviously not as a kid, but just the correlation is there. No.
No, yeah, I understand what you're saying. But we have talked about stories that these new generations coming up, the Generation Z and what have you, not just millennials, but Z and the one after are opting for non-traditional drinks, and that includes non-alcoholic beers and mocktails and... It is a growing segment, but you're right. It's still a super small segment. And I think that's why the article points out there's only three concession stands at Mile High Stadium. And if you look at, if you think about how big a football stadium is, that's not a lot, but it is there.
Definitely.
So it's just growing, and it's growing larger than anything else. But I think it's just the fact that every other market segment is pretty stagnant right now. But anyway. All right. That's all I had this week, man. And not a lot of beer news going on as far as that I think is relevant or exciting or even worth noting. So, you know what that means?
I think I do.
It's time for everyone's favorite segment on Cold Brew, because it's my favorite segment. It's time for the Cold Brew List.
So let me ask you this. Do you think you could live in a post-apocalyptic world?
I don't know, man. I'd like to say yes. But I think I'm so accustomed to, for like 47 years worth of living in a pre-apocalyptic world, that I'm going to have to say no.
Okay. For those of you that caught on, cool. For those of you that kind of like, where is this going? I want to thank you for introducing me and reminding me that the the Amazon Prime series Fallout came out based on the video game franchise of the same name.
Mm-hmm.
A game franchise that I really liked, and I only caught on Fallout 3. Now, the first two were like PC exclusive, and they played way different. Fallout 3 is really where it got hooked and mainstreamed with the whole, you know, RPG style game that it currently is. Because, yeah, if you go look at Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 videos on YouTube, it's an old school PC style game. Like, remember that game? Well, even like Sega Genesis, remember Immortal? It reminded me of that when I first saw it. I'm like, wow, like, you know, little.
It wasn't like over aerial the top view. Yeah, it wasn't really aerial. It's more like a 45 degree aerial view.
Right. And it had that. It had that. Or even what was that other Armageddon type game? Was it Armageddon? Was it called Armageddon?
I don't remember. If it was, I don't remember that game or even playing it. The angle reminds me of mostly is XCOM. The alien invasion game.
Yeah. Remember that game where you basically control everything and like you have your people and like you could improve their land so their houses get bigger.
Was it Populous?
Yeah, there you go. Populous. Okay. Kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Again, I'm talking about the original Fallouts.
Right.
Now, the new ones that caught a lot of people, and especially me, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 4 are like, to me, the heart of the franchise. Fallout 76, I never really got into. However, that was like a, was it, how you say it? MMORPG style?
MMORPG, it's all online. And when it came out, it tripped over the starting blocks like 3 or 4 times before it finally caught its legs.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Like the bugs and resets and patches and stuff was ridiculous.
Yeah, and nothing to do. Like when you get in there, there's nothing, nobody to, there's no NPCs or anything. It was rough.
Right. However, the story building in this world is amazing. I mean, really, and they all kind of link together, especially because the Great War,
right.
Which, you know, nuclear radiation and changing all of civilization affect everyone. And it was just at different times.
Yep.
So going back to the original question, I think I could live in a post-apocalyptic world if I had beer.
And there's beer in the game. Hey, there you go.
Yes, there is beer in Fallout. So real quick, I'm going to go over the beers of Fallout.
That's awesome. Ready? Yes.
Okay. So Fallout 1 just had the item beer.
Okay.
That was it. No fruit, no frills, no bells, no whistles, just beer.
No brand or nothing.
So beer did exist. So potential is there. In Fallout 2, they had beer, and they also had a brand called Gamma Gulp beer.
Oh, all right.
Hey. Little play on gamma radiation for your gulp of beer. Hey.
A little alliteration, you know,
you. You got to go with what's popular at the time, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Now, Fallout 3, sadly, and this is where I picked up. Now, I believe both Fallout and Fallout 2 were on the West Coast of the U.S.
Okay.
And Fallout 3 went to Washington, D.C., the capital area.
Right.
And they actually reverted back to just beer.
Ah.
So it was just the item beer. But beer did exist.
Okay.
In the capital.
Good.
Now, Fallout New Vegas goes back towards the West Coast in what was left of Las Vegas.
Yeah, right.
See how that worked there. Yes.
Thank you very much, Captain Obvious.
And they had beer and they had irradiated beer.
Oh, so,
I'm sure people are ponying up for that stuff.
The ghouls out there.
And then we get to Fallout 4, which is back on the East Coast in the Boston area.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where we hit the big time. Good old Boston, not letting us down. So there is Beantown Brown Beer.
Mm-hmm.
There is regular beer. Both, might I add, these are offered in the beer and ice cold beer variants. Because if you had the ice cold version of the beer, the effects and attributes were greater.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that. Like if you had water versus cold water, it'd be the cold water always, you know, gave you more like hit points back. At the same time, it didn't stay cold forever.
So. Right, right.
All right. So, Bean Town brown beer. Then we go back to just regular beer. And then here's where we get into it, is because the beer brand in Boston was called Gwinnett.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I was wondering what, I knew it started with a G and it was kind of like Guinness, but not quite. But because I remember the level where you had to go into the brewery to recover some files or some shit.
I get to recover a recipe file for the beer buddy.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. The robot that made beer. Is that where you got your early moniker from when we first started?
Exactly.
Nice.
All right. So there was Gwinnett Ale, Gwinnett Brew, Gwinnett Lager, Gwinnett Pale, Gwinnett Pilsner, and Gwinnett Stout.
Oh, nice.
So there, that's the motivation right there.
Yeah, there are a lot of different styles, man. You would think it's a craft brewery. In Fallout, it is a craft brewery because they don't brew enough barrels to be a macro.
And then the aforementioned Fallout 76, they have beer. They have Blackwater Brew.
Oh.
New River Red Ale. Oak Holler Lager, Old Possum, Hickack Pilsner, and Rogers Reserve Beer. Now, I believe Fallout 76 did happen like in the back on the East Coast. I want to say like Virginia, Pennsylvania type area.
Yeah.
I might be wrong. However, I wanted to say like Appalachia, like region sounds covered in that game.
Oh yeah, but I just looked it up.
I didn't play.
I just looked it up right now. It is the Appalachians, Wild Appalachia. They called it.
There you go. So
very good.
I didn't know if, these names, although they seem kind of outdoorsy, aren't really in my eyes like a regionally tied down. Neither is any of the Gwinnett's. I mean, Gwinnett it sounded like Guinness. I don't associate Guinness with Boston.
But nope. Yeah.
Of course, Beantown Brown. That locks you in, right?
Exactly. Yeah, Beantown. What other Beantown is there, right?
Exactly. All right. Then moving on to, I believe these are expansion packs or some sort of smaller
DLCs,
playable games. Yeah. So there's Fallout Tactics, and in there you get beer. Gamma Gulp beer is back, and then I believe it is 5X beer. It's XXX. X, X,
here. A lot of X's.
Exactly. And then, there's a Wild Appalachia where they have Ballistic Bock, High Voltage Hef, Happy Hunter IPA, and Rad Ant Lager. I kind of like those names.
I'd stay away from the Rad because, I played Fallout, so I know what that means. But, I like the other ones.
All right, so real quick, too, let's talk about the Fallout, the TV series. Now, I finished it. I know you haven't. I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything. Mm-hmm. I just like it. I just like the style of what they, to me, they did a lot of proper homage to the whole world of built in the video game.
Yeah, the IP, yeah.
I know you're only a few episodes into it, but they kind of touch on everything, and then even every type of personality in there too. You got the vault dweller person who's kind of
naive,
innocent, positive. You got the Brotherhood of Steel who's a cadet, so wants to do good. At the same time, it's a cold world where I think he's got some jadedness to him,
and they brainwash him too, so he's got a mindset even though he wants to do good.
Yeah, the Brotherhood of Steel is technically, like a cult, a militant cult.
Mm-hmm.
And then the super unique one is the ghoul who is basically, what you call it? The jaded bad one who was good, because not only were they, you know, alive during the war and, you know, radiation turned him into a ghoul zombie creature with all his bearings still, he was a celebrity.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, he was famous. So not only did his life get screwed up, his great life got screwed up.
Right. And I don't want to give too much away, but like he was like super famous as far as like what his icon is in the whole world of Fallout.
Exactly.
Crazy. Yeah, but there's so much.
I'm digging it. Oh, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, I love it. I want to watch it again to look for stuff I missed the first time. I consulted a lot of nerd videos. And then,
yeah.
I want to say, I heard it was renewed for season two. It's only 8 episodes. So I'm even wondering if they shot like, you know, 15 or 16 and kept having the can anyway.
Huh.
You know, I mean, that'd probably be the move to make.
Depending on what their budget was, I guess.
Exactly. What's your take so far of it?
So I'm on episode 3. I love it. As you know, let's roll it back a little bit. You're the one who really introduced me to Fallout, and it was New Vegas. That was my first Fallout. I played a couple hours of 3, but New Vegas was my introduction to it, and then Fallout 4 was so much more, and looking back on it, it was more tied into the original IP because of it was Bethesda, when I think New Vegas was Obsidian. They like it was almost like an offshoot, and it was tied into the world, but none of the factions that were in there were the original factions. So I didn't know anything of the Enclave. And then the Brotherhood of Steel or the Railroad and the Minutemen are more of a regional factions. But yeah, it was it's amazing. The show, I love watching it, looking for all the Easter eggs. And I do like the fact that they start off with the Vault Dwellers, because in the video games they start you off as a Vault Dweller. You're either the Lone Wanderer or the Sole Survivor, whatever the one you started on, and it introduces you to everything. So they did good on that. And plus not just all the Easter eggs and everything, but the story is actually pretty good. It's actually very compelling. You kind of like rooting for all of them at the same time. And I also like the fact that it's got a really like a Western feel, like a Western movie feel to it, especially with the ghoul. What's his name? What's the ghoul's name in the show? I forgot already.
Character is Lucy. I forgot her actress name.
No, not Lucy, but the ghoul, the ghoul's name.
The ghoul?
Yeah, he's played by Walter Groggins, but I was just wondering if he had a name or what is his name or is they just call him the ghoul?
No, it's something Howard.
Okay, all right.
Oh, hey. Shit, I can't think of it now.
But yeah, he's really good too, man. I mean, they're all really good, and yeah, I'm on episode 3, like I said, and I know there's a lot left, and I'm like, I want to ask you, like, do they show this character, or do they show this one of the beasts? I know that, you know what I'm talking about, like the main, like the big, huge, badass beast that's out there, the Razor Claw. Yeah. I want to ask you if they bring a Razor Claw out this season, but I want to find out for myself.
No. Deathclaw. You're thinking of Deathclaw.
Oh, Deathclaw. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not answering any of those questions right now. Just to not fully spoiler.
Yeah.
It's Cooper Howard. That's his name. Groggins is Cooper Howard.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but he's like the Roy Rogers of the world.
Yeah.
And then he lived an additional 200 years because of radiation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, it's great. I think if you like those style of shows and movies where the post apocalyptic world, you'll like Fallout even if you never played the game. If you played the game, you'll like it just a little bit more because of all the Easter eggs.
You know what it kind of reminds me of too, because it's written in that style. And I'm not trying to diminish it either, is because this actually has the point of view of you know, the Vault Dweller, the Brotherhood of Steel guy, and the Ghoul. Instead of one was the Mandalorian. The Mandalorian to me was like a video game. Like he had a quest, but then he took all these little side missions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the same thing that they these three have a quest. However, things come up to make them side missions, and you know they learn more of about their quest on the way.
Yeah,
and then they run back into people they know, kind of like how Mando went back to that little pig guy who built the robot and all that.
Right, the pig guy, Nick Nolte's character.
Remember that one mission was to get that big pearl thing, and yeah. He got it for him.
Yeah,
you know, so they helped him. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, in order to accomplish the main mission, he has to do like a side mission for somebody. So yeah, it does remind me of that too. So it's a well-known formula, and it's working on this one.
Well, definitely, because yeah. That's the thing though too. I mean, this came from the video game.
Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah, and that video game's got a shitload of side missions. Right. More so than they'll probably put in the show. Oh, but just for those of you who never watched or played the game, none of these missions or quests have anything to do with the video games. These are all brand new.
Right. It's all brand new right now. I mean, not to get too spoilerish, but even the timeline right now is a small pocket in the whole world built Fallout world.
And it's like 10 years after Fallout 4. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew that.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I know because all the games are in a sequence, so I don't know if it's potentially going to be a timeline where they might rub into something that went on in another game.
It's a huge IP that Bethesda started, and now it's. I think it's, at this point right now, it's going to avalanche into something big. I can't wait to Fallout 5. If you look on Wikipedia, there is a Fallout 5 entry, but there's nothing there. It's like blank. It's waiting to be written. So I can't wait for that.
You know, too, and to be honest, I played like in normal modes or hard modes, but I never played in like that survival mode where. That's where a lot of people realized the value of Fallout New Vegas was survival mode.
Yeah, fuck that. I want to have fun. I don't want to.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to be fun. I like being as overpowered as soon as possible, you know.
In my last at Fallout 4, like I got a wounding shotgun like almost immediately, and like it just.
Oh, yeah. The meat capper?
Yeah, it made it unfair like the whole time.
Wait, was it the wounding shotgun or the kneecapper? Because the kneecapper cripples them, where the woundy one doesn't. It just keep they keep bleeding out until they die anyway.
It adds like 25 hit point damage. No, what's the kneecapper? I never saw that one.
Oh yeah, like you'll start shooting someone and then, but all of a sudden, like bam, their leg's gone and they can't walk or run after you. So
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Unless they're like a Mr. Handy and then they're floating. They don't have any legs.
No, that's one of the things is they count the limbs. So you could potentially remove one of the weapon options on a Mr. Handy if they have more than one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool. Oh, yeah. That. Anyway, I got it like super early in the game, like when I was on level 2. So I'm like, yeah, it just totally ruined the game. In a good way, though. Ruin it in positively for me. Anyway. All right. Awesome list, man. I love the episode. As soon as we're done with number 8, as soon as I'm done with number 8, and if you're watching it, maybe we'll wait until your second watch through. Then we'll talk about it entirely. That would give our listening audience a chance to watch if they want to.
Okay.
Right on, man. So how's your beer treating you?
Good. Almost gone.
Awesome. Let me see here. You had blueberry pancakes by the Dashboard Light, was it?
My champ fire.
Oh. wait, what? Camp There it is. Blueberry pancakes by Campfire. You know where I got the dashboard light from, right?
Isn't it like a song or something like that?
Yep, there you go. Good job. It's by Meatloaf, one of his songs. Confessions by the Dashboard Light. All right, so I found it. Timber Ales Blueberry Pancakes by Campfire. What would you like to rate this beer?
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Okay.
I liked it. It was a sweet stout. I wish it had a little bit more coffee to it, just to balance it out, because the sweetness was a little too much by itself on a stout.
Gotcha. Yeah. Totally understand what you're saying. All right. What notes would you like to leave it?
I'll put sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
Sweet, but where's the coffee?
Yes.
All right. That's fine. That's fair.
¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Where's the coffee? Oh, one more E, and it has an overall rating right now at 3.97. So you hurt people's feelings right now. Everyone's too sensitive these days. All right. I got a pop-up. Enjoying Untapped? Not really, or yes, I am?
Meh.
We don't call him the best color man in the beer podcast game for nothing, folks. All right. I had my, was it Wuthering Heights? No, Motivations of a Heart, Resident Culture. Before I look it up, it was good. I think as it warmed up, it opened up and it didn't really do anything more. So I'm going to give it a 4. It's a good IPA. It's a good West Coast. I ding it a little bit just because it's a little bit cloudy. Just super slight haze to it. Super duper. So it's not really a great West Coast. It's a good West Coast. All right, hold on. Let me look this up real quick. Motivations. Oh, yeah, it comes up first. Overall rating around 3.93. So I'm right there. 4.0. And I'm going to say it's a murky West Coast. Save and check in. All right. There was a couple things I was going to bring up and I totally fucking forgot. Are you happy Are you excited about the playoffs that are starting? Like second season, right? For the NBA and the NHL?
Yeah. I mean, I knew the Warriors weren't going to go far if they made the playoffs, but having them out, I actually watched the last game just in case the rumors are true that, you know, Draymond, Steph, and Klay are going to break up.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the same time, I mean, I'd put my money on Denver.
Yeah.
Just a gambling. Oh, I wanted to follow up with you the other day.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize the fight was going to happen yesterday.
Garcia.
That Ryan Garcia. The latest. I wanted to know the latest odds on him because he's been just antics for forever. He's like a pro wrestler, you know?
Yeah. I know he really works the microphone.
You know, like that, like he was such a heavy underdog, right?
I didn't look at the latest odds, so I couldn't tell you for sure or not, but I knew he was not favored to win. And then he totally stunned the world by beating, was it Haney or something like that? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe Haney beat him before too. That was the thing. So yeah, he was plus 550.
And I remember Ryan Garcia has been around for a while because he's from Philly, right?
Is he? I thought he was Mexican.
He's got a Mexican last name, but I thought he was from Philly. Or is it Danny Garcia? I was thinking. Maybe it was Danny Garcia. I was thinking. Ryan Garcia. He's American. See, where was he born? I was born in the USA. He went to Adelanta High School, which is in California. Okay, so he's a Californian. I was thinking Danny Garcia. It's a different fighter. It was like like 10, 15 years ago.
I mean, wasn't Danny Garcia at that word fight we went to?
He might have been. I think he sold me some popcorn.
That was yeah, he's working the booth.
Anyway, Bobby. I remember you asking me about what the odds were like a month or two ago. I don't think they were up or you didn't like them or something like that.
No, it just, I think, I want to say it was like, Haney was like negative 400 or something like that.
Oh, okay. Did you want to put money on Haney?
I would have bet on the fight if it was closer.
Okay.
Well, give me the odds on Tyson Logan now so I can make a move.
You know what? I keep looking and I haven't found it yet. They haven't come up on Caesars or FanDuel or MGM. Those are the three I have. I don't think that there are any odds because they haven't come to agreement with any sanctioning body yet. Like on the rules of the fight.
Yeah, well, I guess that was one of the things too, because technically right now it's under exhibition rules.
Yeah.
And that's why people are saying like, wait, you mean headgear and 2-minute rounds and, you know, 8-round limit and all that stuff. So
like celebrity boxing type shit.
Right.
Hey,
which is what it is.
I'll put $100 on fucking Tyson, dude. No matter what the odds are. I mean, as soon as they pop up on one of the things, I'm putting $100 on Tyson. Cause I've seen clips of him like practicing. I'm like, oh, he probably can't beat like an actual heavyweight, like right now, a current heavyweight. But I think he could beat fucking Logan Paul or Jake Paul. Who's he fighting? Jake or Logan? I don't know. I think they do the whole twin brother switch thing during the round breaks.
I believe Logan is the one that's wrestling, right? And Jake
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Logan's wrestling. He's really good, actually, to be honest.
I mean, he's a athletic build, I guess.
Athletic build, but he takes bumps. Like he'll jump from the top rope and shit. So yeah, I'm very impressed by Logan Paul. So I mean, as far as sports entertainment goes. I think Jake should follow follow suit. he'll last longer. Anyway. All right, man. That's all I have for this episode. Do you got anything else you want to bring up?
No, not today.
Cool. All right. Thank you for downloading yet again another Cold Brew podcast. I am Greg, he is Sorcerer Chromatic, and we'd like to wish you cheers.
Until next time.